Tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? It's time to simplify. Whether you own a big business or a small startup, Empower Payments can save you money. Streamline your payment process while saving money today with Empower Payments. Learn more at empowerpayments.com. That's empowerpayments.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Marco, let's play a couple of clips from last night from our favorite studio show as Shaq and Charles Barkley and Kenny and Ernie, did you know they had a chance to talk to Patrick Mahomes, Nate Buchanan?
I saw that.
Did you see that?
I did see that.
Stan, this Patrick Mahomes is a big superstar. He's being interviewed by the crew of the NBA on TNT during the Eastern Conference Finals. And here, let's hear Shaquille O'Neal challenge Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce.
Patrick Holmes, I see what you did. You told us about your jump shot, so that means you and Travis are challenging me and Kenny August 19th.
A match.
Let us know. The match. Anytime, any place.
Free throws only.
Nope. 2-on-2. 2-on-2.
2-on-2?
Yeah, 2-on-2.
I don't know about that, man.
Why not?
I don't know.
Why not? You working on your jump shot.
Hey, Pat, first of all, it's like 2-on-2.
I'm not moving very well, so I might have a chance.
Pat, actually, I did get a new hip.
It ain't really 2-on-2. It's 2.5.
Who's a half?
You 2.5. You 1.5, big guy.
I know you're a fat ass and just call me 1.5.
Oh, Patrick Holmes, by the way.
Patrick Holmes.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Who wins the game at 2-on-2 between Mahomes and Kelce, Kenny the Jet Smith, and Shaq, present day? Shaq with a new hip.
Kenny can still move.
Kenny can shoot. Oh man, when you see him like go up to the video board, he looks like his knees are about to give out on him.
I don't want to find out because I don't want Kelce or Mahomes to get any kind of injury.
Nope.
So I'm not. I don't want that. So, are you looking forward to the match featuring Mahomes and Kelce?
No, I would not because I'm afraid Shaq may not control his temper and get mad if something happens. And he's more dangerous tackling someone than he is playing basketball because that dude is so big.
Right.
I mean, Kelce at 6'7", right?
Yeah.
And just a, you know, tight ends are like models. You know, you got enough length that there's no way you look overweight, and then you got so much muscle and you're so big. I mean, and then stand up next to Shaq and he is double wide and way taller. What happens if he got mad and started shoving Kelce?
Well, I don't need to see that. So I don't
trust him.
But the match is going to be Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce.
You're talking about a golf match.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you were talking about basketball.
No, but Steph Curry.
I definitely am looking forward to the match.
Steph Curry and Klay Thompson against Mahomes
absolutely.
And Kelce.
Now, I don't know why I like those events, but I have.
You
see another side of the guys.
I like it too. Like, you know, Mahomes already had one. He was
Aaron Rodgers,
Brady and Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, and now it's going to be Mahomes and Kelce, which is going to be incredible against Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. So I think it's going to be awesome. So
that's fantastic,
right?
When is it?
It is June 29th. A 12-hole exhibition under the lights at the Wynn Las Vegas.
Love it.
That's interesting to pick 12 holes, not 9, not 18, but 12, with the lights, temporary lights. Well, you know, here it is. This is the first time I get a chance to talk to you guys since Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid had press conferences just recently. And from the moment I saw that contract that the Chiefs signed with Patrick Mahomes, I just thought it was the most brilliant thing I'd ever seen. It covers every bit of the current salary cap issues. It allows all the flexibility in the world, and it paid him $500 million. But it was a team approach of signing that thing. Patrick Mahomes had to give some. He knew what he was doing to help the team out to be successful. And a salary cap, you can only pay the salary cap over time. Yeah, you can adjust this year, but over a 10-year period, you got to pay the salary cap, whatever it was for each of those 10 years, add it up, that's what they actually paid. You pay me now, pay me later. But the way he did that was so brilliant. And he, on the field, in front of the mic, he's always been excellent. But what he did this week is as big a home run as we've heard off the field by Patrick Mahomes. To absolutely understand and not be tempted by others' values, telling him, you're the 10th rated paid quarterback in money this year or something like that, whatever the number is. Anything but first, the national media is all over him. Like, why aren't you demanding that the Chiefs pay you more money? You know, one of the things that the Chiefs do with his contract is when they pay him a bonus at the front of the year, he gets all of his money on day one. Okay? That's better than waiting after every one of the 17 games to get paid. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
There's some value on his financial side there. He doesn't get paid over. You got to look at all the details. He gets all the money up front. But he's doing what he can to help the Chiefs win games. He cares about his legacy more than someone saying he's the highest paid quarterback. That is so brilliant. To me, so simple. But so out of the box. Only Tom Brady has done this. He did it quietly with New England. Patrick's doing it loudly right now. That is music to ears. That is a person who is the all-time superstar. He wants to win Super Bowls and get rich.
And the people that criticize this, especially from other NFL cities, it's not a genuine criticism. They're not being truthful. They saw what Tom Brady did and how that worked. And Patrick Mahomes, and people still bristle when I say this, but he has been heavily influenced by Tom Brady. But that's a good thing. We're conditioned to not like Tom Brady, and Tom Brady broke our hearts in the AFC Championship game and in the Super Bowl and all this other stuff. But if there's a guy that you want Mahomes to emulate, it's Tom Brady. In longevity and the unbelievable success in his career. And so when he's doing things like Brady, and when he says he talks to Brady and gets advice from Brady, that's a good thing. And other teams and other people don't want to see the Chiefs have that type of success for that long amount of time. And so it's not fair to the other quarterbacks. They just don't want the Chiefs to continue
to succeed.
They want to
allocate money to Patrick. And so they can't sign guys like Chris Jones.
That's exactly right. And
or a good left tackle. Or Travis Kelce may have to move on. Well, if Patrick gets all the money,
right,
then the others can't.
That's right. And so then, like you said, you have Patrick Mahomes at the podium. And when he says things like this, we all just have hearts in our eyes because we love everything he says. And he's just... It's wonderful, and everyone else in the NFL.
And it's not just his words, his belief.
Yeah.
This is sincere,
right.
Well thought out. He didn't say it in front of the camera and then go back home and go, crap, this sucks. I should get paid more. This is sincere stuff from this guy.
That's why it makes everyone else mad, because it is sincere. Let's hear Patrick Mahomes again this week.
Yeah, I mean, I always keep me, my agent, and the team, I always keep open communication. And we try to do whatever is the best for the team, but obviously I want to do the best for myself as well. But at the same time, I've always said I worry about legacy and winning rings more than making money at this moment. I know we keep communication. We see what's going on around the league. But at the same time, I'll never do anything that's going to hurt us from keeping the great players around me. So it's kind of teetering around that line.
So you're not driven to be the highest paid quarterback average per year thing. That's not.
No. You just want to do whatever to not hurt other quarterbacks whenever their contracts come up. But you want to kind of keep the bar pushing. It's not about being the highest paid guy. It's not about making a ton of money. I've made enough money where I'll be set for the rest of my life. But at the same time, you got to find that line where you're making a good amount of money, but you're still keeping a lot of great players around you so you can win these Super Bowls and you're able to compete in these games.
Is that a hard line to walk?
Yeah, it is. I think it is for all these guys. I think you see the guys that are getting paid this last offseason. They're trying to find that right spot. Everybody wants to get paid a lot of money. And whenever they think they're the best at their craft, they want to get paid like that. But at the same time, if you look at the greats in the league, I mean, they find that right spot where they're getting paid a lot of money, but at the same time keeping a lot of these great players around me. And so I understand you look at the team and, you know, you got guys like Chris and Snead and even Travis, all these guys that you need to keep around you to have these great teams. But at the same time, you want to make sure you're taking care of yourself. So we have open communication. I think that's the biggest thing. And you see that from Clark. You see that from Coach Reed. You see that from Veach and everybody. Is we just try to make sure that we have the best team on that football field and everybody gets what they deserve.
He gets it. He understands that if he makes those sacrifices, and like he said, he's already made a whole bunch of money and is going to make a whole bunch of money. But those sacrifices that he makes is going to continue to allow Brett Veach to put the correct amount of talent around him. He's going to get these opportunities like being on the match with Kelsey against Steph Curry.
That's why I think it's just trade-off is the word, because he's going to make more money outside.
Endorsements.
His endorsements are going to be greater if he's winning.
Yeah.
Watson has the biggest contract now, doesn't he?
There's like there's so many different
ways. Him, but yeah, because he had anyway, but no, the winning quarterback's going to get the television commercials,
right?
And the extra money that all counts in his bank account. Marco, how long was that?
Come on, bit
we listened to
minute 45.
That I'm telling you is like the best minute 45 of information you could possibly have if you're a Kansas City Chiefs fan. This is not just another off-season good press conference by Patrick Cajones, in my opinion. It is 100 times better for what the Chiefs are and what they're going to be. Now, maybe it's because I listened and Todd Lebo was in the middle of it. I'm not sure about that, but it makes it even better. But what he said from start to finish, what his attitude's most important, the facts that you talked about, Stephen, are as well. But also, the other side of this are the Chiefs are treating him with the utmost respect, respect that he earns. He's not... When they talk to him about things like, what do you think about this receiver? If they do that before the draft, whatever respect they pay him, it's not just to stroke his ego. It is a true respect that he earns. He never oversteps his bounds. Did you notice that he called the owner by his first name?
I brought that up yesterday.
Veach, always by the last name. And what did he call Andy Reid? Coach Reid. That's what we talk about, that balance of where Patrick Mahomes can talk to anybody about anything. They give him that platform. They work together in tandem. The Chiefs have done an outstanding job of working this thing out. And one of the critical things in my mind is when he puts that helmet on and walks down to that locker room, he still looks over and goes, Coach Reed. That is almost impossible to have someone be your buddy and hug him up in the office with the owner and talk about salary cap and your pay and all those things, and then go downstairs and have them respect you like a player being coached. That's almost impossible to do. You know, like a tennis player is a superstar, and then he hires a tennis coach, right? Or a golfer. Tiger Woods hires a golfing coach. But is he really the coach? Because no, Tiger just goes, I'm firing you. The coach has no juice. It's just about Tiger. Patrick has that juice, and guess what he does? Just there. Maybe I'm making a big deal of it. He called him Coach Reed. Right off the top of his head. Because, you know, there's that, we talked about that respect level that he has and that Travis has and those players have. That even makes the winning more easy. Because when he walks in, he's just another player looking up to Coach Reed going, I do not want the wrath of that dude. I want to learn. I want to be pushed. But I don't want to disappoint him. This is magical. This didn't even happen in New England. Steven, I don't know if we're going to win more Super Bowls. It did not happen in New England. The owner... And Brady are tight. They kiss each other before the game. Literally. Okay, right? On a cheek. But Belichick wasn't in on that. He respected Brady. They met individually. Individually, those two guys met in a football tone of saying, let's talk this through. He knew Brady deserved respect on the football field to win. But he wasn't there to love up Brady and then go coach him 5 minutes later. He just coached him. Right? Andy can do all of this. I mean, he could play the realm so well, and from Clark Hunt all the way down, Brett Veach deserves a ton of credit for how he's handling all of this and drafting these players and working the salary cap issues out and dealing with, can you imagine dealing with an owner and Andy Reid, the power that that guy has, and still functioning at a high level? That's not easy to do. So, I mean, this is, I don't know if the Chiefs are going to win more Super Bowls, but they are more locked in, tied in than even the New England Patriots were.
So, this was obviously a big source of speculation after Jay Glazer's report, and you could tell that Andy got to the point where he was at least somewhat irritated by continually having to ask this question. But like right now, if I asked you just to, your best guess, what your gut tells you, how many more years do you think AD Reed coaches?
I don't know his exact age, so I probably should take that into account. But I'm going to say 5 years easy, not even thinking about it.
65 years old.
So that takes him to 70. Anytime you hit 70, you've got to start saying, you know, how is your health and all those kind of things. I don't think Andy Reid's going to be tired out, want to rest, not be able to put out the energy. Does that make sense? I don't think that it's really going to have to be doctors saying, you know, you really need to not stand up so much, you know, on your hips and your knees. And those coaches, man, they stand up a lot. Just go outside today and stand there for 4 hours outside. Just walk around your yard and do not sit down. Just see how much stress it puts on your body. They're doing that kind of stuff at practice all the time. So I think Andy Reid's going to be engaged, not looking toward retirement at all for as long as he can go. Easy 5 years. Wouldn't even – you take the over-under on five, I'm going over immediately.
See, if somebody asked me – somebody did ask me the other day, and I said 5 years. But I could see it being more. But, like, I don't see it being less.
No.
You just look –
You agree, Dane?
Oh, yeah. I think the only thing that stops him from coaching is health. That's my only concern, you know, is I know he's had some health issues. And we all
– It would have to be major. I mean, I don't even think –
We are all testament to the fact that we keep adding health issues as we get older. They don't get better. So that would be the only thing. Yeah, that would be the only thing. I think he was born to coach. It's what he loves to do. You know, I was thinking about what you guys were saying about with Mahomes and his attitude and Andy Reid. I saw a quote from somebody the other day that was it's, you know, the same type of thing about loving the process, but the quote was, the man who loves walking will walk much further than the man who loves getting to the destination. Because if you just love to walk, you're just going to walk and walk, and you're going to get all kinds of places. You're going to go so much further than if you just go, man, I'm walking because I really want to get right there. And my point to that is, like, Andy Reid, does he love winning Super Bowls? Sure. But you know what he loves? He loves coaching.
And coaching Patrick Mahomes.
And he obviously loved it even before he ever had Patrick Mahomes in his life, and he loves it even more now. He loves the day-to-day grind of it. He loves coming up with game plans and the structure and connecting with players and doing all the things that involve the day-to-day part of coaching. He's not just in it for the Super Bowls. The Super Bowls happen as a byproduct of what he loves to do on a day-in and day-out basis. And so why would he quit? He's doing what he loves to do every day with the group of people that allow him to do it the way he wants and with the player that lets him do it at a higher level than he's ever done it before. I don't see him quitting at all unless he just physically can't do it.
This is his greatest joy. This is his greatest value. And doing it with a Super Bowl champion or not, even if he wasn't winning Super Bowls, he would be winning divisions, by the way. Like the Philadelphia Eagles and knocking on the door on championships.
Yeah, he already was.
You know, he would still continue coaching. This is not about Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. This is something much deeper about what Andy Reid brings. And I think, you know, a small example is when Bill Self was unable to coach in a Big 12 basketball tournament and then the NCAA tournament, you know, when we got a chance to hear from Coach Self, what was his basic, in my opinion, summary? I have greater joy for the value of being able to coach college basketball than I ever did before. Not that he didn't like it 3 months before or love it, but I think his appreciation and love ramped up. Like, I am so lucky to do this. Well, Andy Reid, we don't see many people chatting it up with Andy Reid, but I bet Bill Self and Andy Reid run into each other once in a while. Or Andy Reid's self-aware. So if he needs anything, just the local news or seeing a Bill Self will just remind him again, like, man, I assume Andy loves it without anybody telling him. But wouldn't it even help if you were talking to Coach Self and say, what do you think? And he goes, I hope I coach for 15 more years. Before I thought it, maybe I'll retire sometime. You think Bill Self thinking about retirement right now? It's the last thing on his mind, in my opinion, based upon what I heard him say. And Andy Reid's already been wired that way. He's never been tempted to say, well, maybe a few more years. So I think Andy's going to be there for the long haul. And Andy doesn't say much, in my opinion, to the even told the Kelsey brothers when he let down a little bit, you know, in front of the media, you got to be able to handle yourself correctly. But when he said with these new rules that we may be heading toward flag football, that was a scathing statement. I love that. Because Andy Reid, at his core, is the passing guru. He wanted to pass the ball 20 years ago to win. It's not just modern football. He loves to throw, but he still has a value for the physicality of football, an old offensive lineman mentality. Again, the perfect balance. I loved when he said, let's be careful. We may end up playing flag football here. And that was not a compliment.
You know, it's interesting. Like you talk about how Andy Reid kind of has that guard up in front of the media, right? It's always interesting for me to hear players talk about him and what he's like behind closed doors or at practice when the media's not there. And I think, was it Kelsey or someone said that of all the people that do a Mahomes impression, Andy Reid's impression is the best one. But he'll never do it in public. Or like some other like jokes, we'll talk to Sherm or Dieter or anyone that's been around him, and he's got, they say, this unbelievable sense of humor. And the things that he says is crack. And he's done, because he's been here a long time now, he's done such a great job of just not showing that. Now, some people say, well, you know, why not? What's wrong with it? It's his choice, right? And so, like, I remember one time I emceed Eric Berry's had a charity event called Man to Man, which was a fundraiser for Big Brothers Big Sisters. And so the guest speaker he had, one year he had Eric Hosmer and Victor Ortiz. One year he had Bill Self. So one year he has Andy Reid. And so as part of the deal, you know, we sit, everyone's sitting at the tables of four. And so it's me, Eric, like Eric's uncle, and Andy Reid. Sitting at this, you know, table of four inside the Arrowhead, you know, where they have the events right there, the Arrowhead Club or whatever. And so it was just maybe we had like 10 or 15 minutes to talk. And he was just talking, right, hearing him talk to Eric Berry, Eric's uncle. And he had known my background in boxing. And he just brought it up. And so then he told this great story about how he invited Bernard Hopkins, who was a great Philadelphia fighter and an all-time great and Hall of Famer, to come and speak to the Philadelphia Eagles before a big playoff game. And then he talked. We talked about some of the fighters he loved, like Marvin Hagler, and I love Marvin Hagler. And it was like, I've never seen that. I've never heard that guy talk before. Like, he let his guard down a little bit. It's totally different. It was so weird, right? But then he gets in front of the microphone or he gets to the podium and he's more guarded. And what do we always talk about? He says he's so great at saying things but not really saying anything, right? But then you're right. So then when he does say something, it's almost like I've equated this in the past to when, like, my dad cussed every other word when I was a kid, right? And so when my dad cussed, like, oh, big deal, you know, hey, look, sky's blue. but, like, my grandfather, Danny Ontiveros, he never cussed unless he was, like, super mad. And then if he cursed, you're like, oh, you know, or you knew you were in trouble, whatever. And so, like, when Andy actually does give you, like, a little window into something, like you just said, you know, pretty soon it's going to be flag football. You, like, what does he really think? He's super pissed about that stuff and hates it. If he just gave us that much of a glimpse to when, wouldn't you have liked to have heard what he really said when he saw that thing passed, right?
Absolutely.
And he really feels that way.
Well, I, you know, I have never run into Andy Reid, so I have no. I obviously am evaluating everything like everybody else, but when I meet people, I probably put 10 times more emphasis on how I feel, you know, about them in that environment. I've never run into Andy Reid, so that means I'm really into who knows mode on these kind of things. But it's interesting that you said that, because the people that I know who know Andy better and behind the scenes somewhat told me this, and it's really a new thing that you just hit on. The real Andy Reid, comfortable and behind the scenes, not in front of the media, is so inquisitive and respectful of others. He always asking questions about what they're interested in.
Right.
You just told me that. Mm-hmm. See, he's guarded about his stuff. He didn't want to talk about Andy Reid. But, man, wait a second. This guy's Is there anything more cool than being an NFL head coach? I mean, if you had 100 young boys out there and said, what would you like to do? They'd probably rather play. But if you got to be a head coach and be Patrick Mahomes' coach and be able to decide what player, there's only 32 of those dudes in the world, and then he's one of the best. Andy Reid's such a killer up there of what you want to be and dream of. And what does he want to talk about when he's talking about you? Boxing and your stories. And someone told me this recently, and I didn't know this about Andy Reid, and you're confirming it, that when he is with people, he's always knowing more about them than anyone thinks that he would, and he wants to know more, and he digs deeper, and he brings a comfort level from you out where you're talking about yourself, and he's truly interested in it. It's amazing. I mean, you just said that.
Oh yeah,
you guys talked about boxing. You didn't talk about the Chiefs, and that was what your favorite game was, you know, week three. He was telling you stories about stuff that you were interested in. And I heard that's what he always does.
Exactly. Like,
that surprised me. I didn't realize that, but you're confirming that this guy he's so humble and inquisitive. He's always wanting to dig deeper into other people's interests and what they're excited about.
Yeah, and I try, like, when I have a chance to talk with someone like that from a certain walk of life, like, I try not to ask them or talk about the same things they're going to talk about with other people because, here we go. Like, if I didn't know you, Nate, and we sat down, I would try to avoid not, you know. So what do you really think about, you know, soccer and MLS? Because you get that all the time. I would try to, even though Nate would, no, let's talk about soccer.
Marco, you have that siren? Andy Reid walked in here, he'd turn to Nate, and the siren would go off. And he talked to him about some European soccer match.
Yeah. You know what I'd be more interested in telling you about was my life on the farm in Ark City.
Yeah, right. Like,
Honestly,
I like to talk to people about things that they don't normally get asked about or to talk about.
100%.
You know what I mean? Because we'll take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Hey, everybody. Joe Spiker, owner of Easton Roofing here. For almost 10 years, we've been a locally owned and operated family business. At Easton, we work on every job with one thing in mind. Integrity matters. I grew up in Central Kansas, was raised on the values of respecting hard work. At Easton, we always make decisions based on the ethical, right thing for the customer. That's what integrity means to us. So if you have any questions about your roof, give me and my team a call. 913-257-5426. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters. Hey everybody, Joe Spiker, owner of Easton Roofing here. For almost 10 years, we've been a locally owned and operated family business. At Easton, we work on every job with one thing in mind. Integrity matters. I grew up in Central Kansas, was raised on the values of respecting hard work. At Easton, we always make decisions based on the ethical, right thing for the customer. That's what integrity means to us. So if you have any questions about your roof, give me and my team a call. 913-257-5426. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
So, I cannot find the person that tweeted this out, so I'm sorry. I saw this. I did not favorite it or retweet it, but I remembered it. And so I'm going to borrow this, and if I can find who tweeted it, I'll give credit to him. But I had to check this, because when I saw this, I thought, man, there's no way that's possible. And it was right. I'm just curious to ask you guys, if this surprises you, because it sure surprised me. Nothing should surprise us about Patrick Mahomes and the tremendous amount of success he's already had at such a young age, 27 years old. And so, and everyone's talking about Aaron Rodgers now going to the Jets, and, are they going to unseat the Buffalo Bills? Are they going to be a real contender to the Chiefs? We'll see, right? Aaron Rodgers is 39 years old, okay? Someone tweeted out that this crazy stat. Did you realize that Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers have the same number of playoff wins in their career?
Yeah,
is that kind of wild to you?
And Aaron Rodgers is way behind in appearances in Super Bowls and behind in wins in Super Bowls as well.
Right. But, I mean, just overall,
that's crazy.
They have the same number of playoff wins.
That's insane.
Right?
That's how valuable playoff wins are.
That's insane.
Well, and also,
Aaron Rodgers
is 11 and 10. Like, Pro Football Reference gives him credit for an extra win because he was on the bench when Brett Favre won a game against Seattle. So that doesn't count. He was whatever. So his career record in the playoffs is 11 and 10. Mahomes' career record in the playoffs is 11 and 2.
So that doesn't count the Super Bowl then?
Well, 11, no, so 11 and 3. 11 and 3.
Okay.
Yeah, he's 11 and 3.
Which is still fantastic.
Right.
I mean, it's just unbelievable. And the thing is, to get to 11 wins in such a short period of time when you're never playing in the wild card game either.
Right.
Like, you're going right into the divisional round against a really good team pretty much every time. You don't have as many opportunities to rack up wins.
I mean, he comes in, 1-1 his first year. Then he goes 3-0 his second year. And then 2-1 his third year. 2-1 his fourth year. And then 3-0 last year. That's crazy.
Well, man, I think that... It's an illustration of, we're talking about some of the greatest to ever do what they do on the planet. So Aaron Rodgers is one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever live. But when you start talking about what separates him from guys like Mahomes and Brady, or more appropriately, what separates guys like Mahomes and Brady from Rodgers, to me, it's all the intangible stuff we spent the entire last segment talking about. The focus on team, the focus on being a part of a group that wins, the willingness to do whatever it takes to just win the game and win, never losing sight of that being the thing. And I feel like, I mean, I'm not a Rodgers fan either, Stephen, because of, I get tired of the way I feel like he disrespects his teammates all the time, the way he seems a little bit aloof to them.
Well, there was a time you thought enough of him that you said he's the greatest of all time.
When I said when I saw him early in his career, he had the best arm talent I've ever seen. And I thought that gives him a chance to be the greatest quarterback to ever live. But I think he's missing some of the other stuff. Physically, I think he's got everything. But there's so much more to the game than just physical.
Well, I don't want to, you know, disrespect Patrick Mahomes, but when you're going through and you use the word intangibles and you moved around the difference, Andy Reid. If Andy Reid were the Green Bay Packers head coach, Aaron Rodgers would have 5 Super Bowl championships right now. And Aaron Rodgers would not be the attitude guy that he is. It's not just his being. It's his being and how he's brought up. Andy Reid would break that stuff like breaking a horse. And Aaron Rodgers wouldn't have the issues like, you don't like how he reacts in a huddle or in a post game or, you know, whatever. I'm not big on Aaron Rodgers either. I don't like how he's handled himself as a Packer overall. When you look at that whole run, throws some great passes, but he's not encouraging his teammates to be better. He's not bringing them to a higher level. But his coaches aren't Andy Reid either.
That's fair.
I mean, he's not even close.
That's fair.
And Patrick Mahomes is just incredible. Go back and watch his Texas Tech tapes. They were incredible. But when Cliff Kingsbury was his coach, they were slightly above 500. With Patrick playing out of his mind, Patrick Mahomes could be the most dangerous quarterback in the NFL right now and losing in the first round of the playoffs if he were with another squad in the NFL. If you were the Cleveland Browns or the Raiders, they'd be dangerous as hell. But they wouldn't be able to put 3 playoff games together and win, and they wouldn't be beating Andy Reid's team.
I think that's right. I mean, like, what if the Texans had drafted him? You know?
He would come in here and one game, light it up, and you'd walk out and go, it didn't matter what the Chiefs did, Patrick Mahomes just beat us. And Aaron Rodgers does that to people once in a while. Patrick wouldn't – Andy's teams would beat Patrick's teams.
Texas might have won a championship.
Maybe.
I mean, in that game, they were both in that game in the divisional round. You flip-flop quarterbacks, I don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
That's just one game, though. Yeah. Can you repeat it game after game?
Right.
No, this is the perfect marriage, and Patrick Mahomes deserves a ton of credit, especially now more than originally, because with the great job that Alex Smith and Andy Reid and the other coaches did building him up to be a superstar, okay, let's have a lot of credit for everybody. But now Patrick Mahomes, I've said this many times, if he leaves – if Andy Reid retires tomorrow, Patrick Mahomes is still going to be great. Yeah. He doesn't need Andy Reid to be great anymore. He's his own entity. He's got this. Just like when Brady went to Tampa Bay, he learned a ton from Belichick, but he's Tom Brady now. So Patrick Mahomes is a full-grown superstar on his own, And yet he chooses to have the quotes. That's why I thought it was such a big deal. His quotes, he chooses as a power force to still care about things like the team. But I don't think he would have got to be this power force. Josh Allen is a superstar, incredible athlete. And Patrick Mahomes would have been that if he were playing for the Buffalo Bills. He'd be dangerous. Don't you think Josh Allen is dangerous? If the Chiefs are playing Buffalo, wouldn't it be great if we were playing football this Sunday? If those guys are playing this Sunday, wouldn't you have a little respect there, Steven? I know you're high on the Chiefs, but wouldn't you have a little concern that this Josh Allen might play out of his mind and find a way to win?
Yeah, I'm sure he's done it before he gets the Chiefs.
Because, you know, that's what Patrick Mahomes would have been if he were a quarterback of Jacksonville or whomever.
So he's got 14 playoff games under his belt now. So we're a couple of games short of what would be, you know, a season full of postseason games. Yeah. His numbers in 14 playoff games, 67.3% completion percentage, 4,084 yards, 35 touchdown passes against 7 interceptions, and he's run the ball 67 times for 383 yards and 5 touchdowns. So he's accounted for
like a 5-yard average, yeah, and that many rushes.
Yeah, 5.72 yards per carry.
And if you could weight those in critical situations on those third down runs where it's 3rd and 8 and he makes 9.
So I agree with the balance of what you said there, Stan, about, you know, if Andy Reid is coaching, he's going to get the most out of a quarterback. He's going to get a better personality out of them. He's going to get better leadership. But I also do still think, I think leadership is a fascinating concept because some people seem to just have it where you want to follow that person. You want to be a part of their team. You want to be a part of their group. And some people try their asses off to be great leaders, and it just doesn't work. Like, nobody is gravitating towards them. I mean, I feel like, you know, Joe Montana, all the stories you hear about that guy, like, everybody just was like, yeah, Joe, where are we going? You know, and he just had this ease about him, this coolness about him. And obviously Tom Brady's an incredible leader, too. I feel like Mahomes has some of that as well. You know, like, it's not just because he's great.
No, he has a gravitational pull, yeah, that's outrageous.
Yeah, because like it's
but
like,
does Tom Brady have a gravitational pull?
I don't know.
No, he doesn't.
I don't think so.
He earned it by being great.
Yeah. It's like we have to follow
Peyton
that guy.
Manning.
Yeah.
Do you think people wanted to hang out with Peyton Manning, that he has a gravitational pull?
No.
No, he doesn't.
No.
I know guys who played with him.
Yeah.
It's a business relationship.
Yeah.
He treats him with the utmost respect.
Yeah.
But he's more demanding.
Yeah.
That they're going to do what
right.
I say needs to be done because
right.
I know and I have the credibility to say these words.
Yeah.
Patrick
yeah.
doesn't do any of that.
Right.
I mean, it's amazing.
Right.
They just want to hang out with him. When he goes down and throws in Texas, can you imagine how much fun those guys are having? I mean, Patrick Mahomes is trusted by Andy Reid. They're getting stuff done. But I bet if you were down there and you were one of the guys, how about these college guys coming over? How intimidating that could be. I don't think it would be intimidating at all. I bet he makes everybody feel comfortable, everybody feel great, and yet they're learning. Did you hear
yeah.
his quote about the new rookie receiver, about how he has an ability to understand where he needs to be and when?
Right.
It's not just running fast or running the route that's drawn up.
He said it was veteran-like. Yeah.
I mean, those are the kind of things that he could teach him. This story is so cool going forward. It's just incredible. Can we talk about the special? Can we talk about the new rule a little bit?
Does it make you mad? Does it make you mad?
I think you got to bisect this statement and talk it through to understand where I stand on it. So can we do that? Do we have
sure.
time?
Absolutely.
Okay. I think it's a divided issue. Okay. The de-emphasis of special teams, yes, I hate. And I'm glad everyone's yelling and screaming. I am glad they're yelling and screaming and saying taking away special teams out of football is awful. Okay? So Travis Kelce, he was very aggressive talking about it. Andy Reid said, how far are we going to go? We may be playing flag football. That's intense talk by Andy Reid at the podium, right? So wouldn't you say there's kind of an outrage around the NFL players and many coaches saying they don't like the new rule? Is that accurate?
Yes.
Okay, it's being talked about. And in talking about player safety and all the reasons why they're doing, it's a joke, okay? I agree with everybody who says that. The reasoning that Goodell's talking about and everything, it's all a joke. And I do not want to head down that path, Okay? So does that encompass the simple jump on everybody else's bandwagon? But here's the distinction I want to make. This rule and everyone going crazy now is just, for some reason, the spark that got people going. It is not at all that big a deal. The big deal is, how many kickoff returns are there in an NFL game over last season? Do you know? Is it one-third of the kicks are returned?
Yeah, I thought it was like 30%.
Okay.
It's 38%, I think, is what
yeah,
I said
yesterday. I think that's what I thought, just under 40. They've taken this play out of football already, because the kickers are kicking from the 35-yard line, not the 30. Did you see the XFL make a rule that you got to allow a kickoff return? The kicker's not allowed to kick it out of the end zone. He must kick it in a way that must be returned. The USFL is having the guys kick off from where? Like the 25-yard line. They're guaranteeing a kickoff return. I love their emphasis. Okay, and there's ways to get around safety. The XFL have, in a weird way, the two teams of guys. The kicker's back there kicking by himself, and the two teams line up 10 yards from each other, maybe five. And then when the guy catches the ball, and he must be able to return it, can't kick it out of the end zone, then they start blocking each other. So they don't run 30 yards and smash into each other. They run five. That's okay. That's player safety. Don't take this out of the game. But for everyone to be outraged today that they've taken this out of the game by allowing a fair catch is missing the whole point. It was already out of the game. Kickers just boot the ball through the end zone all the time, unless they strategically, and this is a Bill Belichickism, he strategically drops it down at the two with the high kick to try to tackle them inside the 20. The only reason kicks are returned is when the kicking team doesn't blast it out of the end zone, when they think they're getting a defensive advantage. Does anybody want to see a great defensive tackle at the 12-yard line, Stephen?
I mean, the home team, when they're the ones kicking off.
No, they want to see the returns in the game, right? The returns are already out of the game. This, the only rule that they said is, instead of a touchback going to the 25, a new touchback can occur. You pooch the ball up at the 12-yard line, and instead of having to return it, you can fair catch it, and you get the ball at the 25. We've been doing that in college football. By the way, a rule a lot of people don't know, if you don't catch the ball, you get it where you dropped it. So if you drop it at the 2, it's at the 2. But so you advance the ball to the 25 because the kicking team didn't make you catch a high kick. That is what the strategy difference is. This is very minor. This is not a big deal at all. The big deal that I hope everyone gets their focus on is, let's bring the kickoff back into the game. Let's bring the kickoff back. Let's move the kicker back. Let's change the rules. Let's do something so that we don't have 60%+ of the kicks not returned.
Rich McKay, the chairman of the NFL's competition committee, and NFL executive Jeff Miller said that their modeling says the kickoff return rate will decrease from 38% when it is now to 31%. But the concussion rate will drop 15%. It looks like you don't agree.
I'm just going to be skeptical. I don't want to be disrespectful to concussions, but it's not going to make that big a difference. I mean, I don't know about their studies. I mean, it's football. It's not flag football. It's tackle football. And the XFL did something, like I said. Have the kickoff return team.
Is
the kickoff return team's at the 20-yard line, and the kickoff team lines up facing them at the 25 or the 30.
Mm-hmm.
They kick the ball from way back there, and they tell the kicker you can't kick it out of the end zone, so the ball's going to drop. Doesn't matter how high he kicks it. There's no strategy in how high, because the returner gets all the time in the world for the ball to come down. When the returner catches the ball, that's when the other players can start playing. I don't know if you've watched this in the XFL, but you can still strategize.
Yeah.
You can still run like an offensive line, run a trap play or whatever, and guess what? Here comes the returner, here comes the tacklers, and guess they end up about the same point on the field. Yeah. Sometimes they break it for a touchdown, rarely. Sometimes they get to the 20, 25-yard line. It's real football.
Yep.
And they don't have the guys running to hit each other. So I like that.
Yeah,
or move it back to the 30. Do something. We need to bring the kickoff return into the game, as a legitimate play. It's a joke when they say, and here comes a kickoff on those noon kickoffs. Here we go, the kickoff, boom, and it's through the end zone, and we'll take the ball to 25. That's what happens almost every kick in college and pro football.
Yep.
I don't like that, and I'm so glad that they're mad about it and bringing it up. But you see, I don't think there should be any outrage about the new rule.
Yeah, it seems like outrage. You know what it seems like? It's like people were willing to concede the original rules because there was an acknowledgement that the game needed to get a little safer. And then they gave that, and then now they're taking even more away. And it's like, and now it's, I think, because the whole part of that quote with Andy Reid was, where does it stop? You know, okay, so now then you're going to move it another 5 yards. And then you're just clearly trying to reduce how many times we actually have kick returns. Instead of getting rid of kick returns, let's find a way to make kick returns more safe.
Yeah.
Or safer.
Doesn't need to be third grade flag football. You'll take the ball to 25 and start this series.
Because it
there
is
are
a
no
fun,
kickoffs.
It's a huge part of the game. It's a really fun part of the game. It's an entertaining part of the game. But they have turned it into, well, this is just a longer commercial break. You know, I've got extra time to go get my popcorn, get my beer, whatever, because they're just going to kick it out of the end zone anyway, so I'm not missing anything there. And that's – then why even do it? You know, so let's find a way to get – I love that concept of let's get kick returns, but let's find a way to make them a little safer. Then you get to have a huge part of the game still play a factor.
This is my last statement. TV does a great job of showing the game of football. The play that TV has the hardest time replicating that's better in live person is the kickoff.
Yeah.
When you're in a stadium, every kickoff looks like it might go for a touchdown. And on TV, you just see him tackle him at the 25-yard line and go, no big deal. Steven, you go to a lot of games. It looks completely different.
Oh, yeah.
When they're running, you go, man, if they can just bust through those two guys, he's gone.
I remember being with Steven when Dexter McCluster had that kick return on opening night, and you could see the thing unfolding. And we just both started jumping up and down before he even got, you know, that's just, because you can see the whole field. Yeah.
We'll be right back after this on WHB.